Today's episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by TrueCar. David Bloomberg says that one of the rules to winning Survivor is being flexible. But you don't want flexible pricing from what you've already found online when you go to the dealership. You want the real pricing on the actual inventory. But a lot of times, that's not the case. You can configure your car online only later to find out that that price isn't available, not with TrueCar. Because with TrueCar, you get the real pricing on the actual inventory, not just pricing offered by TrueCar, pricing offered by the actual dealer, a TrueCar certified dealer, a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you competitive market price. With TrueCar, you can easily find the car that you're looking for. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar certified dealer network with over 13,000 dealers nationwide. TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster car buying experience when they connect with a TrueCar certified dealer, and the average TrueCar user saves over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here to talk about why the latest Survivor lost the game. And this is a woman who has not lost the game before, even though she is a three-time Survivor player. We're going to be talking about Sandra Diaz-Twine and her first time losing with the great David Bloomberg. David, how are you?
I'm recovering.
Yes. Yes. I know you are a huge Fandra.
I did not know that term existed, but sure, I'll
own
that.
I think it's a thing. I can't be sure. I think it might be a thing.
Well, if it wasn't before, it is now.
Sure. Anyway, so we will get into all of that here today. David, how have you been outside of Sandra?
Outside of Sandra, pretty good. Pretty good. Just normal things going along. My son just turned 21. He has the same exact birthday as Julia Sokolowski.
Oh, yes. And did you celebrate by dropping a cake on him?
No, I did not. I did not. But I did buy him juggling clubs as one of his birthday presents.
Did he want that?
Yes, he did. He asked
for it. Okay. Good. Good. And he did not go on some sort of a bender or anything like that?
Well, I was only with him over at college till after dinner. So who knows what happened after that? But I tend to suspect not.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, David, happy birthday to which son is this?
This is my older son, Andrew.
Andrew. So happy birthday, Andrew. And hope that it was not too bad of a hangover here. Yeah. like David and I have about losing Sandra.
That's right. That's right. Way to bring it back.
It's a gift. All right, David. So now this is tough because you've never done Why Has Sandra Lost before, even though you have written this column since, 2001? You've never written a Why Sandra Lost column.
That's true. That's true. I've written about why she won twice, but never about why she lost.
So we have some work to do today to get through it. So do you want to say anything before we jump into the first rule?
Yeah. Before we get to the rules, I do want to talk about that tribal council, because honestly, I'm still not sure what we saw there. To my mind, there's two possibilities. It was either all an act from the get-go, or Sandra really did have a chance to turn things around. I have some information on both sides.
Okay.
So you and, you know, listeners who have been around for a few seasons know that I used to ask players questions on Twitter, and sometimes they would respond, until one time a player went a little too far, gave away a very minor spoiler about the beginning of the next episode, and then the Survivor people pretty much shut down those Twitter press conferences.
Right.
But the players are still on Twitter, and sometimes they maybe accidentally pass along information. So I had posted some things wondering if Ty is really a good enough actor that the whole tribal council could have been staged to make Sandra think she was getting them on her side.
For the record, I don't even know how this is even a theory that Ty could have been in on it, but I'll allow it. Go ahead.
Okay. So I was having this discussion with some people going back and forth, and Ty himself liked all the tweets in which I was talking about his acting skill, when I said it looked like the tribe pulled the wool over Sandra's eyes, when I talked about how he knew to vote Sandra, and how he would certainly have played one of his two idols if he thought there was even a chance that the rest of the tribe was not being honest with him. Besides those, he also liked Parvati's tweet about how the vote must have taken some major pre-tribal council training. Hmm. On top of all this, those were the only tweets from anyone that he liked since the episode aired. Those from me that I mentioned and the one from Parvati.
Okay.
Sandra also liked a tweet that I sent to her asking how accurate the tribal council was and if Ty can actually act. She didn't respond, but she liked it.
Hmm.
Now, add to this that in Sandra's Entertainment Weekly interview, she talked about how Andrea said during the tribal council that she'd vote with Sandra and Varner, but in Sandra's words, it was all a ruse. So another point in favor of it being an act. On the flip side, Sandra talked in multiple interviews about how Ty kept grabbing at his pocket during tribal council, and she thought that Ty naming Ozzy out loud as a target may have spooked Ozzy. She credited Zeke with telling people to trust each other and stick to the plan, which calmed down both Ty and Ozzy and got them back on track to do what they originally said they were going to do, which was to vote out Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, which is it? Was it almost a live tribal council that Zeke clamped down? Or was it never anything but theater, as Zeke has described tribal council in his Millennials versus Gen X interviews? I know how you feel.
I just don't understand the point of, okay, let's really make this whole thing a lot crazier and it's all an act and we're going to put Ty, who so many times has been bad at tribal councils, and we're going to have him as the star of this vehicle and he's going to put on this master performance that Sandra is going to buy of all people. You know, Sandra is going to fall for this act performance that Ty did. I can understand why Ty would like people to say that theory. Like, I totally get that he is into that being the thought, but what I buy is what, you know, Sandra said in her exit interview. I guess, you know, exit interviews are not canon, so what we would have to do is wait to hear from Ozzy, Andrea, Zeke, or Sarah Lucina. When they have an exit interview, we can find out what was really going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we will find out more. We won't need to wait. I think we may find out more next week because they'll come back from Tribal Council and either they will all be super pissed with Ty or they'll all be patting each other on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll find out in a hurry. But it was just interesting to me, this possibility that they were setting it all up to make Sandra feel safe, because if she felt like something was working, she wouldn't try something else.
It's possible. I don't want to, you know, pound the table and then have to look even dumber and say, absolutely not, no way, 100% that this could not have happened. But it seems so complicated. And I don't know. I feel like that we would have gotten at least a little bit of a hint of what was going on. I don't know. And to have Ty as the centerpiece of it, it just seems like really risky.
That's true. That's true. Like I said, something I wanted to throw out there, and I wanted to do it now because, quite honestly, for this vote, I don't think it matters whether it was real, whether it was fake. Where it will matter is going into the future, because, like I said, if that was not orchestrated, then I think Ty shot himself in the foot more times than he's found idols and created an opening that Varner might be able to use if necessary. Obviously, we'll discuss that later because that's something to worry about for another day, Wednesday in particular. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for now, we'll put this aside and we can get to why Sandra lost.
Yeah, I think the other tell on that is how many times in confessional we see Ty talking about how he's unsure about what's going on. And, you know, right after he spills the beans to Jeff Varner about how Sandra is going to be the one to get voted off, it seems, again, weird to make him the centerpiece of some sort of cloak and dagger plan at tribal council. But you never know. So we will get our answers one day, David. So anything else you want to talk about before we get into rule number one, to scheme and plot?
Nope. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Did Sandra scheme and plot?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. Am I going to get in trouble for asking, did Sandra scheme and plot? Yeah. Okay.
Probably not.
Of course Sandra schemed and plotted.
Right.
As one of the great all-time Survivor players, of course she is scheming and plotting.
Yes. But I will say, you know, you say it's obvious. I make it sound obvious. But there were those who said the anybody but me strategy was not really strategizing in her first season. Certainly, I think she has put those concerns to bed. But part of the reason that she has shown that, you know, she really is a strategist is that anybody but me, it's been the heart of her strategy, but it's never been only that strategy. She has always had other plots and plans going on. And I think this season just made those more prominent. Some of the same people who criticized her previously have even now said this was the best game she played. And Sandra said the same thing in her day after video. Maybe it was. We often hear that playing against higher level opponents forces people in any game or sport to elevate their own level of play. So besides worrying about anybody but me, we saw a lot out of Sandra this time. We know she was super tight with Varner. Aubrey said in a web confessional this week that Sandra had a hold on the game beyond Varner that was like she compared it to a root system that included, like I said, Varner, Troy, Michaela, Haley, Malcolm before he was voted out. And Sandra herself, again, her day after video, said that each of those players, plus somehow Brad Culpepper, I don't know that one, thought that they were in a to-the-end duo with her. Now I have to believe that her secret alliance with Culpepper may have been what saved her and helped doom Malcolm in that combined tribal council. It may be another reason that we weren't aware of Brad was never going to go along. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Malcolm, he was a key piece in another way. Again, referencing her day after video, she said her plan was to align with the alpha males like Malcolm so they would protect her in the pre-merge and she would protect them after the merge. Using these strategies, she essentially directed the majority of the votes when she was involved. There have been several times over the course of the past few weeks where people have wondered, well, why didn't the other players do something differently, such as, you know, why didn't they save Tony? And I think the answer has become clear, if it wasn't already. Sandra didn't want to do things that way, and she convinced her allies to stand by her. Okay, how did she do that? Well, I think we look at the words of Sarah. She doesn't pressure you, her voice never raises, she's calm, and she just starts to suck you in. That's the best kind of strategizing. She just drew people into her inner circle, and they joined her there. As she said at the very first tribal council this season, "Everybody loves me, Jeff. What can I tell you?" But she also provided a compelling justification to the alpha males for aligning with her, as I mentioned. Again, looking at her day after video, aside from Tony and JT, most of the alphas have played multiple times but never won. So she offered them that protection that they needed post-merge to get to the end of the game. It had to be a compelling idea for them, and it showed how Sandra knew just what buttons to push. At her new swap tribe, Sandra said she offered Ozzy the same deal that she offered Malcolm. She would protect him after the merge if he helped her get to the merge. She thought that she had a deal with Ozzy going to that tribal council. Obviously, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she tried to work her usual magic, but her new tribe just wouldn't let her get a foot in the door. But that wasn't her only move either. She also did things that went in somewhat the opposite direction. She is willing to cause little storms in her tribe and either specifically point the finger at others or let fingers be pointed. And then she eggs on those who are pointing the fingers. You know, we've been over these already, but just to remind people, she began in Pearl Islands by dumping the fish. Now, you've mentioned in previous weeks that she did this more as revenge for voting out Rupert, but she also allowed someone else to be blamed and then used it to her advantage. Mm-hmm. Then she burned Russell's hat. This time, she ate the sugar and blamed Michaela and kept bringing it up to really get JT mad about it and make him believe they were all mad, too. As Steven wrote after Sandra voted out JT, breeding suspicion and distrust is an incredibly effective strategy. So what did Sandra do? She tried it again on her new tribe, pointing the finger of distrust at the Korong 3 in order to use their perceived bond against them, specifically Ty. But again, her new tribe shot that down. They wouldn't let her go down that path. So we know Sandra is good. There's just example upon example of this. A couple more. Candace mentioned to you last week that even after she lit into JT after the Malcolm Tribal Council for giving away information, she was still good enough to convince him that she was on his side to the point that he didn't even bring his idol. Another example, Stephen noted in his most recent blog, Varner fell for Zeke's lie that Ty was the target. Sandra immediately saw right through it. So as Stephen pointed out, good players try to put themselves in their opponent's positions, imagine what is best for them, and then act accordingly. I think that's something Sandra has done throughout her Survivor career. But even saying that, with all this in her favor, as good as she was, there were at least a couple players on her new tribe that knew they couldn't let her get any sort of a foothold there. She schemed, she plotted, but they were not going to budge.
Yeah, she's really good. She's really good at Survivor. I mean, I don't have a rebuttal or, you know, she's really like, you know, I wouldn't need to belabor the point. She really knows what she's doing. But did she scheme and plot too much, David? Rule number two, did she scheme and plot too much? Could we point back to anything that Sandra overdid this season?
Well, that is one criticism I've seen. Because she didn't play her usual game where she would sit back and let other players decide who to vote out and then just go along with her anybody but me strategy, you know, was that scheming and plotting too much? Because now she was controlling the group. That was asked of Sandra as well. In her interviews, she said flat out she didn't have a choice. She knew she had no place to hide this time. People were coming after her, so she had to jump in front of it, make relationships, and do her best to be on the right side of the numbers so she could control who was being voted out. I had several back and forth discussions on Twitter with various people about whether Sandra should have tried the meat shield route of keeping around the likes of Tony and JT. There were those who were saying this is what she should have done. But the problem I saw, and, you know, again, Sandra talked about them in her interviews too, was that she couldn't make alliances with them because they kept coming after her. She noted in one interview that Tony claimed he was going to bring her into his alliance, which also included Malcolm. But then Malcolm told her Tony never brought up her name. So it was clear he was just trying to send her vote in the wrong direction and set her up to fail. She actually addressed both Tony and JT in her day after video, indicating that, you know, when she got to Ponderosa, both of them told her that they wished they could have worked together. And she told them that didn't make sense with how they acted. So she got rid of them. And, well, she used different meat shields, as I had mentioned earlier. But this was not the first time Sandra had to up her game. She had done something similar in Heroes versus Villains. I look back at my article on why Sandra won from almost 7 years ago, and I found that I had noted at the time how we saw more open strategy from her compared to Pearl Islands because she needed to scramble in order to make it through several votes. I even asked her when I interviewed her at the time, and she said that she was already a target at Heroes versus Villains. So, in her words, she didn't have time to be quiet and swallow her words and tippy-toe around camp. Either you liked her or you didn't. This time around, she expanded on that same theme. She was a bigger target. She had to play a bigger game. So I do not think she schemed and plotted too much.
Okay, David. Well, what about rule number three for Sandra? Do you think that Sandra was flexible?
Well, obviously, when people think of Sandra, almost everyone thinks of her anyone but me strategy, which is pretty much the most flexible way possible to play the game.
But did she get away from that?
I don't think so. And, you know, even looking back, so her first season, obviously she used that and she was super flexible. Again, looking back at my article on why Sandra won Heroes versus Villains, I said I don't think she could have been more flexible. She adapted to every change and managed to come out ahead somehow. When I interviewed her then, she even said, they don't have to respect my style of play. Everyone cannot like me, and I understand that. I take a lot of things into account. I'm versatile. I move around. Even beyond that, fast forward to today, she noted in recent interviews that she continues to watch Survivor and learn from it with every passing season. She's not going to play the same game every time because she knows she can't. Contrast this with the way some players come back and return season after season, and they essentially play the same game and don't understand why they can't make it to the end and win. That's how you see how truly flexible Sandra is. She started with one strategy her first season. It worked. She modified that strategy the second season. It worked again. And then she modified it again this season. And I think she was about as flexible as she could possibly be.
Okay. So, David, then, if Sandra was flexible, did she let her emotions control her? JT would say yes. Yes, she did. She got rid of JT only for vengeance after Malcolm went out. That was emotional. Could you argue that she got rid of Tony because Tony was giving her a bad vibe? Was that emotional?
Well, okay, let's address the JT thing first. Yes, she did say in her own words it was revenge, but I don't think it was really as emotional as it seems. She had said ahead of time that someone would pay if that tribe didn't come out of that combined tribal council with everyone who went into it. And last week, we discussed the numerous good reasons to get rid of JT that weren't emotional. There were logical, strategic reasons. I feel like it was more of a mob hit done for crossing the family than it was for emotional reasons. It's like, you know, you did something bad. I'm not going to, you know, take this personally or emotionally, but you still got to go. So overall, I would say that she actually uses emotions rather than playing emotionally because she used the emotions against JT. She fomented anger or mistrust of different players, but she did it without falling into the trap herself. You know, she said she views Survivor as her job, and she's going to play it straight, knowing that she has to vote people out no matter what she thinks of them personally. So she's not going to go after someone just because she doesn't like them. And I think a perfect example of that is the fact that she kept Aubrey around through all these votes, despite not being aligned with her, you know, not wanting anything to do with her, you know, honestly. Yet Aubrey made it time after time. And Aubrey even asked when they got back from tribal council, why was it JT and not me? And it's because Sandra was not playing emotionally. She was targeting the people she knew she needed to target. She plays methodically, not emotionally.
Okay, David. So far sounding pretty good for Sandra. We haven't come up with any reasons why she lost. Rule number five is pretend to be nice, play the social game, keep your politics and controversial beliefs to yourself. She did want to eat the goat, according to the episode.
Well, according to the episode, according to her interview, she did eat a goat.
Yes. There's been some goat talk in exit interviews. All right. But Sandra's social game, where do you want to go here?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, Sandra felt like everyone liked her. And I tend to agree. Nobody on the tribe that voted her out did it because they couldn't stand her. It seemed like quite the opposite. They all liked her too much. They all respected her. You know, this is a bit of a contrast to what we've seen before from her. And she said in one interview that some people watching think she's mean, but she's not. In the game, she takes the time to talk to everyone on an individual basis. Well, I say everyone, but everyone actually, but Aubrey and Caleb in this case. And she lets everyone get to know her on a personal level and was really nice to them because she knew that she needed them to have her back. In her CBS post-game interview, Sandra said she's such a pleasure to play with. And she added that, well, okay, sometimes someone catches her off guard and she may be mad about something, but for the most part, I'm really just a pleasant person. Mm-hmm. Now, we can laugh about how she's complimenting herself, but it does seem to be true. People were not gunning for her because they were mad at her. They were gunning for her for other reasons.
All right, David. What about rule number six, where you shouldn't be too much of a threat? Didn't Sandra violate this by winning Survivor two times before? That's very threatening. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I just said they were gunning for her for other reasons. And I think X marks the spot on this one. This should come as a surprise to precisely nobody. Sandra herself knew that she was a huge target before the players even started the game, to the point that she knew she could well have been voted out at the very first tribal council. In this episode, we heard Zeke say, she's the most dangerous player, arguably, in the history of Survivor. Sarah apparently told Sandra after the swap that she couldn't believe Sandra was still there after so many tribal councils. This told Sandra that they were scared of her, but it went beyond the game. Penner said on Twitter that Sandra is incredible, but she's just too dangerous. And I'm not going to get into a Penner slash Alan Alda slash whatever.
Danny Zuko.
You know, in person.
Sure.
Yeah. Impersonation there.
Yeah. More like Sandra D as Twine.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's why I'm not going to bother trying to do a impersonation there.
She can star in the Penner Grease remake, the High School Musical version of Grease.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see that somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can tell me more.
Someday I'll get into it.
Anyway, like I said, Sandra herself knew she was a target, but she said in her CBS interview that one thing that surprised her in watching the show was how everyone on her swap tribe besides Varner wanted her out. She said, "I never realized that I had such an effect on the game to the point where people felt they had so much respect for my game that they needed to get me out." Now, let's contrast this to what I said about Sandra winning Pearl Islands 13 and a half years ago in that original Why Sandra Won. I had written then, she was so non-threatening that people probably would have forgotten she was there. Nobody worried about Sandra winning immunity. Nobody worried about getting her voted off before she could convince the jury of what a great player she was. She didn't just fly under the radar. She tunneled beneath the ground. I noted something back then that you and Liana discussed on the week 4 voicemail show, that even when she wasn't on the right side of the vote, her allies were voted out throughout her seasons while she remained safe. So, yeah, it shows that she's not always in the know. She's not omniscient. But even when she was on the wrong side, she was clearly less threatening until this season. There was just no way people were going to forget about her now, though I do have to say it seemed like it almost happened among her initial allies. But a big part of that was the fact that there were, once again, bigger threats around. Once those threats were gone, and then she got swapped into a tribe where the majority were already allies with each other, but not her, and there were no other threats around who were anywhere near as important as she was, that changed. And I think it went even beyond that. A number of people had talked about wanting to vote out Sandra, who had made it through 2 full seasons without that happening. And then both Ozzy and Zeke said things in web confessionals indicating that they wanted to be a part of the moment when Sandra was voted out.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, it went to a meta level that was beyond the game itself, and it became a part of Survivor history. What fan of the game wouldn't want to be a part of that, especially if it also helped them get rid of a huge threat?
In that way, I think it's very reminiscent of the Richard Hatch boot from Survivor All-Stars.
Right, right.
That was less about what he was doing in the game, more about, you know, let's hang this carcass up on the wall. Like a moose head. Big game hunting. Okay.
That's very disturbing.
Yeah. Look, sorry for the graphic metaphor, David. Rule number 7, vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, and then the strong. So vote out the weak was when they voted out Sierra because she was bad at the challenges. And then they voted out the strong when they voted out Tony, Caleb, Malcolm, and JT. And now they're back to weak. Do I have this rule right?
More or less. They probably should have been voting out the week at least at some points over the past month. But they finally got it. They finally voted out a weaker challenge performer.
David, I have to be honest. I still don't get this rule. Every week you try to talk me into it. I think you'd be fine with 6 rules about Survivor.
We'll see what happens in the upcoming new player seasons without so much swapping. Okay?
Okay,
then we'll worry about that. Yeah, but for now, they did, you know, vote out a weaker challenge performer. Although I have to admit that although it does come in line with this rule, I don't really think they considered this as anywhere near the top reason to get rid of her.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess it probably could have come up in their minds that it wasn't going to hurt their challenge performance. This tribe overall is fairly set when it comes to challenges, you would think. And even Sandra herself said in a web confessional that she was actually happy with her swap tribe because she thought they were strong and would dominate challenges and keep her safe. But, you know, that obviously didn't work out. And to make it worse, you had Jeff Probst yelling things like, "Sandra is taking a long time for Nuku."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not exactly what she needed at that point. The one place that Sandra is strong in challenges was the puzzles.
Yeah.
But this tribe also now had Zeke. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Zeke has lost a puzzle yet when he's actually had a chance.
Right. I mean, this was extenuating circumstances.
Right. So losing Sandra doesn't really lose the puzzle part because you still have Zeke. And the funny thing is, you somewhat have Sandra to thank for that, because I think Zeke said at some point that he got that slide puzzle app for his phone after hearing Sandra talk about it on an interview.
Oh.
So, you know, Sandra may have helped author her own demise in that way.
Is that why she's mad at me?
That could be.
That could be. Fault.
You asked her a question about that, and then Zeke got the information. It all comes back to you.
I don't think that there's a direct correlation, though. All right. So then, David, in terms of the appendices, do whatever it takes to get idols. Sandra did not really go idol hunting this season. She only found one idol in her Survivor career towards the end of Heroes versus Villains. Do you fault her at all for not being on the lookout for the idols?
Well, it is an interesting point because, like you said, we didn't see her doing any idol hunting, which I guess is not terribly surprising for the first part of the game since she was in, you know, pretty clear control there. And, you know, there was some targeting there of Tony, who was talking about idol hunting, and Malcolm was saying he wanted to, you know, lay low and not idol hunt. And obviously the two of them were aligned, so I'm sure that there were discussions about that. By the time she wasn't in control of things, well, then it was too late. And that's part of the problem with not idol hunting early enough.
I mean, was it too late in terms of this beach that she got to? Yes, Ty found the idol, but, you know, just like JT, when he got to the new Nuku tribe, that he went out looking for that idol right away. If her and Jeff Varner hit the beach, couldn't they conceivably have found the idol clue that led them to the idol that Ty found?
They could have. It's not clear exactly when, you know, how quickly Ty found it. And they usually don't show unsuccessful idol hunts unless, you know, there's something funny that happens. So it is possible that she went looking. I think she decided to concentrate on what was more likely to work for her, which was trying to get her new tribe mates on her side. In the long term, if she had made it to the long term, that was arguably a better investment, although it didn't end up paying off. It's hard for me to say. Yes, you know, she and Varner probably should have done some idol hunting if they didn't. But at the same time, there's only so many hours in the day. And who's to say that the other tribe might not have had someone on top of them making sure they weren't out looking for the idol because, you know, it was pretty clear that they were in the minority.
All right, David. So with all this in mind, what is the official consensus on why Sandra lost?
Okay, last week, I'm going to get to a question that we had talked about. You asked me how JT's loss affected his legacy. And, you know, at the time I said it's possible for a returning player to go home fairly early and not have it affect that legacy. But JT's own actions caused an impact on how people will view him going forward. Here we are a week later and we have Sandra leaving. So I'm going to ask the question, do I think it affected her legacy? And the answer is no. If anything, I think it made her legacy even stronger.
Mm-hmm.
She was potentially the biggest target in the game, and many people, including yourself, I believe, didn't think she would make it past the first episode.
No.
Yet she went to 5 tribal councils and 2 tribe swaps before she got voted off. In the meantime, she took out the other 2 winners and showed that she has multiple speeds at which she can play this game. As I said earlier, some people I know who had been somewhat down on Sandra in the past actually viewed this as her best outing. So basically, the queen stayed queen. But another big topic of discussion this week has been how much of a role luck plays in Survivor. Clearly, there's an element of luck. I'm not going to assign a specific percentage. I know you discussed that with various people. But instead, I'm going to do what I do and compare Survivor to a poker tournament in this regard.
Okay.
Better players, in general, will get to the end and maybe even win because they have put themselves into good positions and outmaneuvered the opposition. But that doesn't mean other factors won't intervene. In poker, we say you got to win the flips to make it to the end. And that means sometimes you're going to find yourself in a position where you have a 50-50 chance of winning a hand. Heck, sometimes it's a situation where you have a 90% chance of winning a hand. And then that one bad card comes out to knock you out. The same sort of thing can happen in Survivor. Part of Sandra's bad luck was that she had to go to 5 tribal councils. Part was obviously this particular swap. But with as many swaps as there have been here, players should expect that they're going to be on the wrong end at some point and praise good luck if they aren't. I have long said that tribe swaps and most other twists are part of the game, at least until 2 weeks ago when I said the twist that knocked out Malcolm was unfair. The most recent swap was fair. It was expected. It was bad luck that it happened to Sandra and put her into a bad position. She tried to get out of that position, and it looked to us like she almost succeeded. As we discussed earlier, she credits Zeke with pulling everything back together again. Presuming that's true, then it doesn't mean she played poorly. It means Zeke played well and held on to the upper hand due to the numbers he already had. On the Beyond the Buff show that you hosted, Cochran said he couldn't think of what Sandra could have done differently. In her CBS post-game interview, Sandra said she would have played the same way, but tried to pick a different buff. I have to join the chorus here. Sandra was viewed as a huge threat coming into the game. I think she played tremendously just to stick around as long as she did. Even Aubrey, the player who was with her the most while being pushed away at the same time, said Sandra was the best player there. But Sandra did need the luck of the draw to keep flowing her way. She may have been the best player, but everyone knew it. She managed to work her magic with one group of people, but the second group watched it happen from afar, and they were not about to let her do to them what she had done to so many players already. They held strong in a position when so many others before them had faltered. And that is why Sandra finally lost.
Finally lost, David. Do you feel good about Sandra returning, A, and doing well in a fourth time?
I do feel good that she will return. It'll be interesting to see how she does a fourth time. I mean, she is no longer invincible, which helps her. But even being no longer invincible, it's not like with JT, where JT did these dumb things, and so people, you know, can say, oh, we don't have to worry about him. She still showed she knows how to play the game. As I said, maybe even better. It'll be just very interesting, and I think a lot of it will depend. Does she come back before there's an all-winner season?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she does, then, you know, she could still be one of the biggest threats out there. If she comes back in an all-winner season, well, sure, she's won twice, but everybody out there is a threat. And maybe she can hide for just long enough in order to make it to the point where she can, you know, pull herself along. It just, you know, a lot of it, again, will, I think, depend on the luck of the draw. Who will she be with on that initial tribe? How will they do? She has the ability to win again. She just needs a few things to go her way.
I was talking about this with Josh in the Wiggle Room. I really like her chances in the all-winner season.
I mean, it's, you know, it is a definite possibility. We'll have to see. And again, you know, who knows what Survivor will do? Will they throw in even more twists? Will it just be reigning immunity idols? Will there be advantages? Will Cochran show up, but he'll probably already be there. Will Debbie show up to give advice?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So we'll just have to see what it looks like. But I would certainly say she remains a big threat.
Okay. All right, David, let's start to shift gears and look ahead to this week's episode. It looks like that we're going to have at least one more vote before we get to the merge and perhaps two or getting even to three. David, what do you think is going to happen this week?
Well, I didn't see much in the preview, at least the one that's aired so far, that is terribly helpful. I mean, basically, it was some people are mad and others are teary, which doesn't give us a whole lot of information. But we do know, as we discussed, that Ty may well have sabotaged himself in that tribal council by calling out Ozzy as a target. Even if there was some play acting involved there, I feel like Ozzy was not happy by that turn of events.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that there's a potential split there and Varner could sneak through? No, maybe. If that split does happen, my guess is Ozzy targets Ty. Ty plays his idol. Ozzy gets idled out of the game.
Whoa.
But if Ozzy knows Ty has an idol because, you know, of the fiddling with his pocket and everything, then Ozzy would be wise to not target Ty at this point. Meaning even if there is a split amongst that tribe, they might still target Varner.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have a feeling the other tribe is the one that ends up at tribal council. And that is more interesting to me in terms of the dynamics because it has a number of people who aren't necessarily as solidly tied to their tribal alliances like Aubrey and Ceree. Plus, with only two guys, as we know, because both Brad and Troyzan kept emphasizing that, they could make the case that the tribe needs them to try to prevent losing more immunity challenges before a merge. You know, they don't know when it's coming, but it, like you said, it could be a couple more votes. So looking at some of the personalities here, Brad and Sierra are obviously tight. Brad was trying to work with Haley. I'm not sure that really worked. He wants to align with Troyzan. And in fact, we know Sierra has a secret pregame alliance with Troyzan.
Mm-hmm.
Michaela and Haley are apparently close from the original tribe. Aubrey, not so much, but she probably could join with them if, you know, she and they think it's necessary. Ceri is the wild card. In looking at all these different options, I'm thinking Brad, Sierra, and Troyzan will pull over either Ceri or Haley. And if that happens, I think things look really bad for Aubrey.
Okay. That's your pick?
That's my pick.
All right. Well, I am going to try not to overthink it, and I'm going to say that Jeff Varner has had a good run here, but it certainly looks like that is the easiest chalk pick on the board. I'm going to go with Jeff Varner.
So you still think he won't make the merge again?
It'd be very sad, but I mean, if they go to a tribal council, I mean, what's the play there? I mean, you have these four people that have been together for a while. Ty has two idols. I don't know necessarily how he gets out of that.
Yeah, I agree. If that tribe ends up going to tribal council, yeah, it doesn't look good for Varner. If Sandra wasn't able to turn things around, you know, not to detract from Jeff's abilities, but I just don't think he's going to be able to, especially if Ozzy does get the feeling that Ty has the idol.
Okay, David, do you have a hashtag for the Why Sandra Lost edition?
Well, throughout, everybody's been saying queen stays queen. She's gone now. So I want to modify that a little bit. But the queen stayed queen.
Okay.
So
queen stayed queen. There you go. With more to come on the Sandra boot, our RHAP bloggers are actively working. Michael Trudeau has a fan fiction about Sandra's exit from the game. Christian is going to be looking at Debbie's lucky streak with Sandra's fight to the finish and the power of perception. And Scott Gallagher is going to recap the tragic events of last Wednesday a bit later in the week. So be on the lookout for that. So lots of bloggers. You can get all of those at robhasawebsite.com. All right, David. So here we are back at the start of a new Survivor week on Wednesday night. I will get back into everything with Stephen Fishback on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. And in the meantime, be on the lookout for the hit comedy podcast News AF, which drops in your podcast feed every Wednesday morning with myself, Danny Bryson, and the great Tyson Apostle, who is doing very well at Run It Up Reno, I hear.
He is. He is. As of this recording, at the beginning of day two, he is in 14th place, although he did get a penalty. He got a penalty because he checked the nuts. He had a royal flush and did not realize it. And someone checked to him and he checked, which is considered to be collusion. And so even though it was clear he didn't know that he had done it, he didn't even realize he had a royal flush. He checked.
How did he not realize he had a royal flush?
You'll have to ask him that one. I don't know. I guess, you know, sometimes you just, you're looking at the board and you're expecting
one thing.
So
what happened? How did that play out?
Someone, you know, the opponent checked to him. He turned over his hand and then said, "Oh my gosh, I'm sorry." And, you know, realized he had the royal flush and that that's obviously the best hand you can have in poker. So, he won the pot, and then he had to go walk away from the table for one hand.
Oh, that was the penalty?
That was the penalty.
That's not much of a penalty.
Well, you know, sometimes they give three-hand penalties. Sometimes they give full-round penalties. There are occasions where sometimes checking the nuts does not get any penalty. But in this case, I guess they felt they had to do something.
Okay. Well, we will be sure to ask Tyson on the next News AF about checking his nuts. And which leads me back to our Amazing Race episode 2 recap.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to.
check that out, too. All right, David. Great job. Follow at David Bloomberg on Twitter. We'll be back with more Rob as a podcast very soon. Subscribe to not miss an episode. Rob has a website.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.